Morning, everybody. Thank you for having me. Before we get started, I just want to get settled and do the set-aside prayer and ask my higher power to help me and help me find my words for today. God, today, help me set aside everything I think I know about you, everything I think I know about myself and others, and everything I think I know about my own recovery, so I may have an open mind and a new experience with all these things. Please help me to seek the truth. Thank you. My name's Jennifer, and I live in Massachusetts, in the United States. And I think I started stealing food around 5 years old. My father was an absentee father and an alcoholic, so I come to addiction naturally. My mother has food issues, and was a very angry, abusive person. So my history is not unlike so many of yours. There was physical and sexual abuse in my childhood, abandonment issues. And for a long time, we were very poor, and we relied on government food and food lines to eat. There were times when friends would drop off food for us. And so while there seemed to always be food, there was clearly not enough. So there started with a scarcity in my childhood. And I remember stealing food at friends' house. I remember stealing food at my own house. And that was difficult. That was difficult. I started restricting when I was in high school. And wouldn't eat in front of people, especially at school. And I developed an ulcer at 16. By the time I was 20, I'd started abusing food, though. I started eating. My portions were crazy. My food choices were crazy. And by the time I was 25, I was then considered obese. So I went from underweight at 15 to obese at 25. I tend to consider myself an addict because at different times in my life, alcohol was a problem, sex was a problem, spending was a problem. But food has been the addiction that has really served me best and worst. It started out as a survival skill to handle things that I couldn't manage on my own. I didn't have a connection to a higher power the way I do now. So many things in my life seemed difficult to manage, and really, I was just ill prepared. So quickly, in my adult life, this kind of yo-yo began for me, where I would gain 100 pounds, I would lose 100 pounds, I'd gain 150 pounds, I would lose 70 pounds, I'd gain another 150. This time, I'd only lose 60 pounds. So what happened was at the height of the pandemic, I was 449 pounds and teaching remotely. And life was incredibly difficult. And getting from one room into my house to another room to teach was very difficult. I couldn't carry anything. I couldn't carry a cup of coffee. And I would need an inhaler as soon as I got to where I was going to sit. And things were pretty difficult. The schools reopened. I went back to work, but I continued to eat to try to manage the feelings. The pandemic was scary. I was at risk. And that fear didn't really go away when the schools reopened, vaccines became available that I did partake in. But that fear didn't go away. The anxiety didn't go away. In April of 2022, I was hospitalized with pneumonia and a contagious virus. I was hospitalized for 4 days, and in the United States, they don't keep you hospitalized for long. Around here, they like to push us right out. So I was pretty sick. I was very ill. I was on a breathing machine. And oxygen, and they couldn't get me off oxygen even when I was sitting. As soon as they took me off oxygen, my O2, my pulse ox just started to plummet. So they were talking about ways I could start exercising outside that would be safe for me. The concern was that I would be on oxygen after I left the hospital. I had just turned 50 years old. And I was devastated because I felt like that wasn't old enough. That wasn't old enough for me to no longer be mobile, for me to no longer be able to breathe without equipment. So one of the nurses spoke to me and I was crying. And I said, you know, a year and a half ago, I was still able to hike. And I was able to hike when I was morbidly obese. And I said, are you telling me that that's never going to happen again? And she patted my hand and said very sweetly, there are other ways to enjoy nature. Now, I remember thinking, this is it. This is how I die. It starts right now. It's already begun. And now I'm dying soon. This is the end of it for me because of my choices. So I white knuckled it and I lost quite a bit of weight and I did start hiking again. But I was struggling. I was struggling because I was still really angry all the time. I still was incredibly sensitive. I had to always be in the thick of it. If there was some kind of drama going on, I tried not to be directly involved, but boy, I liked being peripherally involved. I liked knowing what was going on and running around and sharing what I knew. I loved stirring the pot and sitting back and watching to see what happened. Boy, if I had a problem with you, everybody else knew about it. I told everyone how I was feeling, but I wouldn't deal with you directly. I couldn't manage a confrontation, not in a way that would be professional, not in a way that wouldn't have me lose my job. I was so miserable. So miserable. And I started a new person was hired at my school and we were working together. And she told me she was going to AA and that she had gotten sober during the pandemic. And she said, you know, I'm going to a mixed fellowship meeting tonight. And it's online, and they'll be, you know, it's for AA, NA, and OA. Why don't you come? And I remember thinking, why is she saying this to me? I mean, this is kind of, what is she doing? We're at work. And I hemmed and hawed for a couple of weeks, but I finally went. And when I did go and I heard those people talking, I thought, oh crap, I belong here. This is where I'm supposed to be. And that was such a great night for me. It was a great night to know that I was an addict and all of the things I was feeling and all of the things I did made sense suddenly. So I got abstinent. I got a sponsor. I started working the steps. And the first thing that happened was when I started working on step four, I was so terrified because by now what I thought of myself was pretty bad. My self-esteem who I thought I was awful. And I was terrified of that step because I already thought I was worthless. I already thought I was one of the worst people ever. I really didn't need to see that in writing. I didn't need to see all of my mistakes, all of my failures on paper, and then share it with somebody. That seemed unbelievably difficult. That seemed like way more than I could do. When I talk to people now, when I sponsor people now, I tell them, when you get to step four, run to it. Don't run from it, run to it. Because one of the greatest things that came out of this program was identifying my character defects and going from thinking there will be thousands of things wrong with me because I am such a bad person to seeing there were four character defects that really, really needed my attention. And then seeing that, well, they were character defects now. Once upon a time, they saved me. They were survival skills for me for a long time, but I didn't need them anymore because I had a higher power now. I had a community of fellows now. I didn't need those that way anymore. And I want to tell you that those character defects, I've been, I consider it sober. I've been abstinent for almost a year and a half now. And while I'm very comfortable talking about my character defects of control and ego, it's only been this summer that I've realized I haven't been dealing with my people pleasing and needing to be liked. And those have come up for me this summer. And I'm so grateful to my higher power that circumstances have been put in my path for me to acknowledge, wait a minute, there are two character defects that I have just forgotten about, that I've just set aside because I'm very comfortable talking about control and ego. I'm really comfortable talking about those. And I think I'm comfortable talking about those because they're the character defects that people in my life have struggled the most with. So there's that people pleasing. There's one of those character defects that just kind of popped away. So step four was helpful for me in a huge way because I could see that I wasn't just a conglomeration of faults and failures, that there were very specific things I needed to work on. So I continued that work. I got through the steps, and sponsoring, excuse me, was a very scary thing for me to do. I think I'm going to pop back a little bit. So in program, I've lost 115 pounds, 150 pounds. And here are some changes. So in 2022, I was hospitalized and on oxygen and not doing well. I just got back from a trip where we hiked and walked 20 miles in 7 days. I just completed a 65-mile summer hiking challenge. I completed it 3 weeks early. So I've set a new goal for an additional 15 miles to complete that. I've already signed up for the Fall 50 challenge that I'll take part in. And I don't do that with oxygen. I'm not a fast hiker, but I hike consistently. I walk every day. And those are things that I'm grateful for. I'm grateful that my health is better, that my blood sugar is down, my blood pressure is down. I'm a much healthier person. And that's great. Don't get me wrong. That's wonderful. But where I really feel my recovery is how I am with the people in my life. My father died when I was 15. So recovering a relationship with him was never going to happen. My mother is still alive. She's 90 years old. And up until 6 years ago, she lived with me. It's a very difficult relationship. And I remember when I was doing the steps, saying to my sponsor, I don't know that I can make an amends to my mother. And she said to me some really powerful words. And I really don't know if other people in the program would approve of it or not, but it was a gift to me. She said, I'm not going to ask you to apologize to your abuser. I'm going to ask you to do a living amends and what time you do spend with her to try to make as pleasant as possible for both of you. And I do that. There are many times I'm baited when I talk to my mother. I don't take that bait. If I need to stop the conversation, I stop the conversation. If I can redirect the conversation, I do. If a boundary is needed, I put it in place respectfully and firmly, but it's respectful. My relationships have changed a great deal because I deal with people directly now. If there's something that I feel like I need to say to you, I say it to you gently. I say it to you directly. I don't go around and discuss it with other people. I certainly don't get the temperature of the room to make sure that what I'm feeling is okay, and then have a really ugly confrontation. Those are things I don't do anymore. My relationships are better. And when drama's involved, the only time I will get involved is if I know something that might be helpful to the situation. If I can temper the situation, if I can diffuse the situation. Other than that, I stay out of the situation. As a result, my work life has gotten a lot better. It's not as stressful as it used to be. And my focus is where it should be. It's on my work. It's on my recovery. It's on me being a recovered person working out in the world every day. And as all of you know, that's not easy. The more people in our life, the more difficult it is to stay abstinent. And more importantly, more difficult it is to stay living in steps 10, 11, and 12. There are many days that I spend every trip to the bathroom doing the sick man's prayer or doing a step 10. It's only recently that I've realized that as many times as I'm in the bathroom doing a sick man's prayer, there are probably people I work with who are doing the same thing for me. So the difference between before recovery and now is I have a sense of peacefulness much of the time in my life. It's not that problems don't arise. It's not that challenges haven't arisen.
5 minutes left, Jennifer.
Oh, thanks so much. Haven't come up, and even some health issues have come up recently. The difference is how I respond to them, and how I meet those challenges. And the first thing I do is I connect with my higher power and say, "Help me know what to do here. Help direct my words, direct my actions. Help me know what I need to learn from this." And more, when these challenges come up, I sit back and take a sigh and say, "Okay, this situation keeps presenting itself because I haven't learned yet. I haven't learned the lesson I'm to get from that. I'm to get from this." And I found that when I respond that way to obstacles and challenges, they're diffused and overcome so quickly. So quickly, because of my connection to my higher power, I don't feel alone in that anymore. I don't feel alone in any of the struggles in my life. People have often asked me how I have felt a connection to my higher power, because unlike the big book, my spiritual connection was not immediate. I didn't feel that suddenly. That's one of the words they use in the big book often when discussing a spiritual connection. I didn't feel it right away. What I started to do was I started to be grateful. I started talking every day with my wife. We would drive to work together, and every morning we talk about what we're grateful for, and we go for three things. It never stops at three. We always have more than that. But I found that the more grateful I was, that then I wanted to be thankful. And to be grateful means you're acknowledging, but to be thankful usually means it's directed towards someone. So the more grateful I was, the more thankful I was, and I wanted to be thankful to my higher power. So that started to build that spiritual connection for me. And now I feel that spiritual connection all the time. I feel, and I was raised in organized religion, so I tend to use the pronouns he and him when talking about my higher power. I feel his work in my life every day. I feel that. Even coming here today to meet all of you, I'm so grateful that it's 5 a.m. here. I'm so grateful I got to get up at 4:30 this morning. I'm going to see the sunrise this morning, which I haven't been able to see in a couple of weeks. And I can't wait to do that and meditate while the sun rises. So life is different on this side of recovery. It's knowing who you are and knowing what your character defects are and having the opportunity every day to work on those things and relinquishing those parts of myself that were necessary to survive, that aren't necessary anymore. So I think that's all I have to say today. Thanks so much for including me and welcoming me this morning. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.